Hi, good morning everyone. Welcome to this meeting of the Licensing Subcommittee of the Malden District Council. We're sitting today under the Licensing Act 2003 and Local Government Miscellaneous Provision Act 1976 to hear and determine applications made under this Act. I'm Councillor Maddie Thompson. I've been appointed chairman for this meeting. The other members are Councillor Brian Beale and Councillor Mark Durham. The notes of the meeting have been taken by Ms. Tara Bird on my left, and we also have council members Adrian Fluker in attendance there and Mr. Chrissy Morris at the back. Councillor Chrissy Morris, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself so everyone knows who everyone is. Thank you.
Madam Chairman, the PA system doesn't appear to be working and I have a slight hearing deficiency. Could you check if it's working?
Microphones on.
Testing.
Would it help if you came forward?
It
does seem to be working, but thank you for asking. Right. Okay. Mr. Winter.
Good morning. Daniel Winter. I'm a licensing officer based at Chelmsford City Council, but I look after Malden District Council as well.
Mr. Quelch.
Yeah, Simon Quelch, I'm a legal advisor here.
Thank you. You, sir.
Ross Lonergan and Samantha Lonergan, Crouch Ridge Vineyard.
Okay. I'm Terry Inkpen, I'm just a resident of Hawthorne.
Okay. And you, ma'am?
Hi, I'm Dr. Christine Collins, and I'm also a resident of Hawthorne and what I think is termed an interested party.
Is there anyone else who is, in fact, an interested party, taking part and should be sitting further forward? No? Everyone's happy. Good. Right, I just need to check. You have the papers, you have the report, the application form, which is called Appendix A, and the various representations, which are Appendix B. And I also have a title plan. That's okay. Everyone happy that they've got everything they should and they've read everything? Okay, well, to begin with, we're going to have an outline of the application from the licensing officer, so that's you. Oh, I'm sorry, yes, I've missed the notices. These are the sound recording of the meeting. Any part of this meeting held in open session is recorded for subsequent publication on the website, and any members of the public attending with a view to speaking will be recorded on that and are deemed to have given consent. Fire. In the effect of a fire, there will be a siren. Please use the exits marked with the green signs. We assemble outside the council offices and await further instructions there. Health and safety, please be advised of the different levels of flooring in the council chamber, and the meeting is being monitored and recorded on CCTV. So our first item is, in fact, to consider an application. Okay, shoot me now. To disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraphs 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members, and members are reminded they're also required to disclose any such interests as soon as they become aware should the need arise. That's the three of us?
No,
nothing. Thank you, Ms. Bird. So our first case is to consider this licence for the Crouch Ridge Vineyards on Fanbridge Road. So, Mr. Winter, would you outline the application for us, please?
Thank you, Chair. The purpose of this report is to consider an application for a new premises licence under Section 17 of the Licensing Act 2003, having regard to representations received and the requirement to promote the four licensing objectives as detailed below. Recommendations. The licensing subcommittee determines the application for a premises licence taking into consideration the options that are available to, as detailed in 4.1, which are below. Crouch Ridge Vineyard is a 10-acre vineyard with a barn within the grounds. Their intentions are to sell wine made from the grapes from the vineyard. The vineyard can produce up to 25,000 bottles per annum and needs a retail outlet at the vineyards to service this, and a licence for people to purchase wine on the premises. The application was received on the 1st of April 2019 for the following licensing activities, which is the sale of alcohol from 10 a.m. in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening, every single day. As part of the licensing process, a complete copy of the application was sent out to the responsible authorities for consultation. The application has been properly made in accordance with the Licensing Act 2003 and all procedures correctly followed. The completed application form is attached as Appendix A. The application was correctly advertised in the locally circulated newspaper within the timescale allocated under legislation and on Maldon District Council's website. During the consultation period, questions were raised about the suitability of the placement of the blue public notices close to the premises. For the sake of clarity, members are advised that the blue public notice needs only be displayed on the location in which the licensable activities are being applied for. In this case, it is the barn within the grounds of the Crouchridge Vineyards. The applicant placed the public notices in three locations around the vineyards at entrances and exits, increasing the likelihood of these being seen from the roadside. Members are asked to note that as this report is published publicly, personal details have been redacted from some of the documents. However, the licensing authority and the applicant have received complete copies of all the documents. During the course of the consultation period, representations were received from five members of the public on the grounds of all four of the licensing objectives as listed in section 1.1. Copies of all representations received are attached to this report as Appendix B. A plan indicating the location of the premises is also attached as Appendix C. To conclude, members are advised that they have the following options when determining this application. They can either grant the application on the terms and conditions applied for, grant the application on the terms and conditions applied for modified to such extent as considered appropriate to the licensing objectives, or they can refuse the application in whole or in part. Members are reminded that the applicant and or any person make a representation in relation to this matter may appeal the decision to the council, to the magistrate's court, of the council to the magistrate's court. And that, I believe, concludes my report, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Right, the process now is that the applicant makes an opening statement, can call witnesses, but I gather you haven't got any since you didn't say already. And then we go to each responsible authority, in fact, no one is represented from those, and then to the interested parties. And then we come back. Just should say members of the subcommittee can ask questions at any time through me. And the hearing takes a form of a discussion, so it's relatively informal. So if you feel you need to speak, ask a question, do say, but not during statements. Then the applicant makes a closing statement, and we, in fact, will retire to consider. So, Ms. Lonergan, sir.
Good morning, Mrs. Chairman, councillors, ladies and gentlemen. As you are already aware, we are now a 10-acre vineyard that was established in 2012. We expanded the vineyard from 2 acres to 10 acres in the first 4 years, and we are now looking to increase the number of vines in the next few years. To put this in some context, it takes 3 years after planting to get the first harvest, and then a further 3 years to reach a regular yield of approximately 10 tonnes a year. Sorry, three tonnes an acre. So since we started harvesting in 2015, our first yield was only a tonne. In 2018, we yielded 17 tonnes, and by 2020, we should be getting regular tonnage of about 25 tonnes a year. From that 25 tonnes, we can make approximately 25,000 bottles of wine, which has already been explained. I would like to point this out. We are always told from our vineyard manager, Duncan McNeil, who manages an area of pretty much the whole of the southeast, and Newhall Vineyard down in Purley, that we consistently have the best grapes in the area, as we're in one of the premier spots for growing grapes in the UK. At present, the Maldon District is expanding the growing area for grapes from approximately 145 acres to 500 acres planted by this spring 2019. However, over 75% of these grapes are sold outside of the Maldon District to other wineries in the UK. So what I'm trying to explain to you is, even though Maldon District has one of the best growing locations to grow grapes as a district, we produce very little wine. and we are one of the few vineyards that grow grapes and have these grapes made into wine in this district. This is what makes us distinct. We have created a brand for our wine and it is now recognisable, and we have steadily built up the quantity and range of our national and regional award-winning sparkling and still wine. We are now at the stage where we need to sell the wine from the cellar door on a regular basis. Our business model from day one was to produce grapes grown exclusively at Crouchridge Vineyard and use them to make Crouchridge wine, and to offer wine-focused activities including vineyard tours, wine and food pairings, and since then have become part of the Crouch Valley Wine Trail, which Sam and I are founder members. Crouchridge Vineyard received Malden District Council Chairman's Award for New Business of the Year 2016 and Business of the Year 2016 as nominated by the District Councillors. We cannot offer this totally unique and exclusive wine and wine experiences without a premises licence. The premises licence will allow us to contribute to local tourism, generate increased employment and economic returns. For the last 4 years, we have been limited to one-off launches where we have obtained a temporary licence in order to sell wine to the public from the vineyard. Currently, we are limited to online sales by telephone or travelling to external events or festivals. We also supply a very limited amount of wine to local delis and restaurants, but at present the demand is very limited, which makes the business unsustainable. We are constantly contacted by local visitors and tourists seeking to know when the vineyard is open and where they can buy our wine, along with vineyard tours and tastings. We've already had people visit us from America, South Africa and Australia. By opening up the vineyard, we are bringing people into the area, keeping them here longer and buying locally. Not only our wine, but other products such as Malden chocolate. We have been part of the Malden and Braintree Council initiative, Grape and Grain Trail, since its inception, and have been asked to join other tourist initiatives. We have described the steps we intend to take to promote the four licensing objectives in our application, and we hope this demonstrates how we aim to prevent crime and disorder, public safety, public nuisance and protection of children from harm. For instance, children under 12 must be accompanied by responsible adults whilst within the boundary of the vineyard, and the vineyard has reasonably good fences all around Fanbridge Road. Each responsible authority for the licensee objectives have not, as far as we are aware, objected to this application. We therefore recommend you approve this premises licence for Crouchridge Vineyard. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Members, do you have any questions at this point?
No questions.
Thank you. So, as I said, we know responsible authorities present, so I'll move to the interested parties. But one thing I will say, just to save time for the sake of efficiency, is many of the points that have been raised are in fact planning matters or environmental health matters or highways matters. So the suitability of the building, the traffic, that kind of thing is not actually dealt with by premises licences. Any question of planning permission is decided elsewhere and the two are not related. So, Mr. Inkpen, would you like to make your statement? Thank you. Please do use the microphone.
Sorry. Thank you. I'll start by saying that I've always wished the Crouchridge Vineyard and Samantha and Ross every success in their venture, and I've considered the vineyard a real asset to the village. However, there are commercial aspects to the operation that have to be balanced against the desires of many of the Althorne residents as defined in the village design statement and subsequent surveys for the neighbourhood plan. I made my original submission before I had sight of the application form. However, I would not change any statement I made at the time. You will have seen from my written submission, planning for the barn building is outside the village development area, was granted as an agricultural building, only under permitted development with prior approval not required.
I'm sorry, I realise it's part of your statement, but as I said, the planning is entirely separate matter, and the applicants may or may not have or get planning permission. That's actually immaterial to this to this meeting.
Okay.
So if you could skip over those parts, I'd be very grateful.
Right. Only one of the conditions of the approval was that the wine should not be stored on the premises, but now it's proposed to use it for the storage, sale and consumption of alcohol. I realise that it's just a planning issue and not strictly the concern of the committee, but the creeping commercialisation of this sensitive site will be a source of irritation and ongoing nuisance for the local residents, particularly as planning permission has already been granted to the applicant for a bistro and wine storage facility on an adjacent site. This will be the start of commercial activity at the site, increased traffic movements entering and leaving the site, parking of non-agricultural vehicles in an area valued by local residents, and passing travellers on the B1010 for its extensive views over the Crouch Estuary. I consider the impacts of the condition for an alcohol licence to ensure the prevention of public nuisance. I want to take issue with the statement made on the application form, section 5 on page 17 of the pack. The vineyard can produce up to 25,000 bottles per annum and needs a retail outlet at the vineyard to service this, and a licence for people to consume our wine on the premises. Why is it a must? It's a nice to have, but it's only one of a wide range of marketing alternatives, and the downside is the increased commercialisation of the area, hence public nuisance. The statement that 25,000 bottles of wine will be produced from the 10-acre vineyard seems rather a lot, and at odds with comments made by the applicant in a recent edition of the magazine Essex Life, stating that the third harvest in 2018 produced close to 7,000 bottles. This prompts a query: is it an intention to sell only wine from this vineyard or include the sales from other vineyards in the area? Also, is it the intention to offer any alternative alcoholic drinks to other visitors, perhaps those in the larger party that do not drink wine? If the number of bottles is 25,000 a year, I'm making a few broad assumptions that the average customer will buy 6 bottles at a time. This would incur an average of 11.4 entries and exits from the premises per day, every day, not including casual tasters that did not purchase at that time. This will increase the hazard at the War Memorial Triangle at the junction of Station Road and other entry points on the B1010 Fanbridge Road. The Fanbridge Road has a poor accident record, very narrow.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt again. Okay. I'd much prefer not to, but we cannot spend... We cannot take into account matters that are not relevant to this regulatory body.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Right. So the choice of an agricultural barn does not seem ideal for the purpose. Access is only available through the large...
No, I'm sorry. It's...
No?
No. I'm sorry. Right. These are all planning and highways matters. I'm sorry.
Right.
Mr. Crouch, do come in.
It endorses what the chairman says. All the points actually you've raised...
Sorry, Mike, all the points you're raising,
none of the only point you've raised from a legal point of view the committee can consider. You've mentioned public nuisance, but you've just stated it. There's been no evidence put forward, no statistics, no scientific data about public nuisance. So Chair is completely right. All the matters you've raised are not relevant to this licensing subcommittee.
I mean, in terms of public nuisance, it's not there yet, so there's no data.
In which case you can't raise it. You've got to have evidence. This committee can only make a decision based on evidence, not on speculation.
Right. Okay.
So do you have anything else that is a licensing matter to add?
Yes, I mean, reading through the application form raises a few questions. Does the designated premises supervisor have to be on the site at all times during opening hours?
It would be the normal rules for any designated supervisor.
The answer is no.
And the answer is no. So but that applies anywhere, public house, hotel anywhere.
So you can have a supervisor that doesn't have to be on the premises?
That's right.
Correct.
That's correct.
I thought Samantha might be very busy and occupied full time for 365 days a year.
Well, it's optional. Obviously they can be, but they don't have to be, as long as they are in charge and they're monitoring what the activities and sales.
Another point, if the application is accepted, will the licensee be bound by the conditions stated on the application with regards to opening hours, non-provision of music of all types, etc.?
Yes.
Yeah?
For all licenses, licensable activities, yes, but some like music are not licensable.
I declare an interest. I have a personal license and have experience in the licensed trade, considerable experience in the licensed trade. The answer to your first question is the designated responsible person does not have to be on the premises during all of the opening times. However, the conduct of the premises still falls under his responsibility. So the staff obviously have to have sufficient training. And if the worst comes to the worst, it is the licence holder who is penalised whether or not they were on the premises. So they obviously, from an operational point of view, it's to their benefit that they are comfortable that the premises is being running correctly. In terms of the opening hours are as stated on the application, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m. In terms of the music provision, which recorded and live music has not been added to the licence. However, the law of the land is that for functions of 500 people or less, that the provision of live or recorded music is not a licensable function. So that can be carried out. Correct me, yes. That for 500 people or less, you don't need a license for live or recorded music.
Right.
Thank you.
So that could still go ahead then?
It could.
Yeah.
As indeed they can now, without a license.
Apologies, Chairman.
That'll be £10 in the not mine, Chairman's charities.
That's fine.
Thank you.
If this application is granted, is it the intention of the licensee to apply for any temporary event notices to cover activities outside the time stated on the application?
That's entirely up to them, but I'll take that as a question to them if they're prepared to give an answer. I mean, they can all, they, well, if they wish.
Yes, we will be, because every year we have an annual open day during English Wine Week where we ask for a temporary licence. 2:11 o'clock, but to be honest, everyone leaves 10:30 at the very latest. So, I mean, we will continue to do that because that's an annual event,
right?
And that will be outside our granted license,
right?
Again, it will be granted or not on its own merits,
right? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I think that's all I had. There's one other point. I was surprised to see that on the report by the licensing officer that there was going to be no impact on the environment by, you know, granting a licence here. It would mean, obviously, car parking arrangements, car movements on and off the site.
Again, that's a planning matter. But Mr. Winter, did you have a comment to make on that?
I was just talking to the legal advisor regarding that. In terms of the impact on...
Microphone, please.
In terms of the impact on this report, it's decided amongst the legal team whether it will make an impact or not. It's not one that we would we as a licensing department make decisions on. So that's completed by the legal department.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
I have copies of the presentation, so anybody who wants
one. We already have them, I believe.
Yeah.
So
the one I've just written out,
I mean. Oh, I see. Okay. Yes, thank you. Possibly later, that would be fine. Dr. Collins.
Right, hello. my name is Dr. Collins, and I live directly opposite this barn that's the subject of the premises licence application. And I've lived there for 28 years, and my property is about to be placed on the local list of heritage assets, apparently. However, my comments under the licensing objectives, and I'll try not to go over things that we've already discussed.
Thank you.
But it's difficult. Yeah, it's difficult because I've written it out and I didn't have the benefit of legal advice when I wrote it. Just to summarise, the applicant has applied for opening hours 7 days a week, 10 till 6. And, as we said, there will be no music. But as I worked out, there will be the possibility of 15 temporary event licences that can be issued, and which will allow loud music, including amplified music, up until 11. I'd just like to say, as local residents, we've had experience of this at the Vineyard site with previous licence events, and the music was so loud it caused a series of complaints to environmental health. I haven't got the evidence for that, but you say that is their issue anyway. When restrictions on the bistro were placed to try and reduce the effect of disturbance to local residents, including amplified music and soundproofing measures. With this barn, there is no soundproofing, and because of the nature of the planning, there are no restrictions at the present time for any of those things which will protect local residents. I note that when the planning application, I know it's planning, but the wine storage was removed from the original application for the barn. I know you don't concern yourself with planning issues, but my big concern is that there's no soundproofing in the barn to prevent disturbance to local residents during temporary events, and there would need to be some restrictions, I would ask, on music played outside the barn.
Thank you. Sorry, I'll just come back and answer that question.
Yeah.
I mean, that is dealt with on each temporary event notice. So it's not relevant to this particular licence.
Okay.
Does the
public get an opportunity to comment on temporary event licence applications?
Mr. Winter.
Okay.
But that is noted.
Okay. Just a small point. There's several different possible venues on this site already where premises licence may be applied for in the future, which could lead to in excess of 45 possible temporary event applications being made in the future. These events are concentrated in the summer months, the temporary event notices. There are 7 tour dates advertised on the website between the 23rd of June and the 5th of October this year. 3 of these are in September. So I would argue that summer months are when local residents have a right to be able to enjoy their homes and gardens without the intrusion of unrestricted noise from a commercial venture. Many of us have lived here for many years. Some are elderly, which I do not include myself. I've lived here 28 years, and it is of note that the applicant no longer lives in the village and I believe lives some miles away. I would ask that if a licence is granted, consideration is given to whether in fact it needs to be 7 days a week, and also perhaps that some restriction on the number of and duration of the temporary event licences issued could be put in place. And I'd make the statement that not everybody enjoys loud music and raucous behaviour into the late evenings. However, on a positive note, on the 1st of June this year, and there was an open day at the vineyard, it was advertised as having a live band, but in fact the music, although audible, was a much more acceptable level and was not amplified. I'm not sure if this was in consideration of the local residents or because the anticipated alcohol premises licence had not been granted. I would like to hope that this was an attempt by the owner to consider local residents. A noise management plan could be helpful and could negate a lot of the apparent negative feelings from local residents towards the vineyard and also free up a lot of people's time in making complaints if further disturbance occurs. I'd just also like to make the point under public nuisance that adjacent to this site is a natural burial ground owned by the applicant. It is shown on the map on page 39 as Crouch Valley Meadow. I think it's insensitive and inappropriate to have these activities so close to where the bereaved may wish to spend quiet time in remembrance of their loved ones. There is also the issue for potential littering on the main road and down Station Road. And if lighting is installed to facilitate access, there is the potential for light pollution affecting local residents and wildlife, particularly bats that are evident in this area in the summer months. Then go on to protection of public safety. I understand from previous comments that have been made by the owners in the past that wine has to be stored under certain climatic conditions. This was emphasised in the bistro application back in 2017. I'm just wondering if these conditions are met by storage in a metal barn.
I'm afraid that's planning.
Okay. It's just under public safety. If the iron's not stored appropriately, but okay, accept that. Also under public safety, as it's an agricultural barn, has there been any chemicals or insecticides in the barn that could be
health.
A danger?
Not environmental health. Sorry.
Okay.
It's not about. This is about. Licensing.
Public safety.
Alcohol.
But provision for disabled visitors
I'm afraid it's planning.
Again, I'm afraid.
It's okay.
Planning. This is strictly about the sale of alcohol and people rolling drunkenly around all. I mean, if you suddenly have a huge increase of people rolling drunkenly around Althorn between the hours of, say, 11 and 7, or that, that's potentially evidence, but conjecture, I'm afraid, isn't.
I think if I can clarify, this hearing can only determine the licensable activities on the premises.
Okay.
The only licensable activity requested is the sale of liquor for consumption on and off the premises. That is all that we can consider, whether the premises is suitable for the sale of alcohol. In respect of your previous comment in relation to amplified and recorded music, as we said already, you do not need a licence for less than 500 people between the hours of 8 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. And in theory, you could do that 365 days a year. However, if the noise, if you believe the noise is unacceptable, that is entirely your prerogative to approach your environmental health department, and they can make a noise recording and serve whatever enforcement if the noise produced by the premises is above the prescribed levels. But that is outside of the scope of this hearing. And in respect of the temporary event notices, I stand to be corrected, but a premises license holder has unrestricted numbers of temporary event notices they can apply for. Is that correct? A non-licence holder is restricted in the number.
Both are restricted, but a person with a personal licence...
Too many.
Both are restricted, but a person with a personal licence is allowed up to 50 a year. So there is a limit, but they have a lot
They're
more
different.
Scope.
Thank you.
But as we said, so that would only control the sale of liquor, but they are able to have the music without a licence.
Could I just ask and clarify this point, that the temporary event notices, I understand, even though a personal licence entitles you to 50, for any one premises it's 15?
No.
I don't.
That's what it says on the government website.
A premises licence, any premises licence is allowed 15 temporary event notices a year or 21 days. And that's on any licensed premises. that's different from the temporary event notices that are allocated or allowed by anyone with or without a personal licence. Someone without a personal licence, say for example yourself, you could have a temporary event notice without a personal licence at your place of resident, if you so wish, and you could have a temporary event notice at Crouchridge if you wanted to, providing you give permission to, for I think it's 5 a year, and with 2 late temporary event notices. So it allows the scope for many people to have parties as such, use that word broadly, but yes, it's perfectly possible.
On that note, that's even more concerning in terms of public nuisance and noise. In terms of public safety, I would again stress the proposed access in and out from the road.
Sorry, highways, I'm afraid. That's highways.
Okay. Also that there are no pavements along that side of the road or in Station Road, which may lead to possibly people influenced by alcohol leaving the site and wandering into the road. Prevention of crime and disorder. I'd like to say that this barn is set apart from the other buildings associated with the vineyard, notably the farm, Canute Hall and the holiday cottages, and can be easily accessed by any criminals as it can be approached from Station Road from the rear or through the burial ground. I think this would attract potential criminals to this rural area, and there is limited policing available already. I am told that there has been a number of burglaries already at a similar venue at a neighbouring vineyard along the road towards Latchington. Security lighting would be a nuisance in terms of light pollution to local...
Sorry, that's planning again. Madam, I'm sorry. Okay. This is only to do with the sale and or consumption of...
Okay, well, in terms of public nuisance, I would put security lighting under a potential public nuisance.
No,
and,
sorry.
Okay, and also installation of alarm systems could be a public nuisance.
Sorry.
Right, prevention of harm to children. I know that there are... appropriate measures put in place for underage drinking, and I do not know about possible exposure to chemicals or machinery. And finally, my big concern is I do not believe that the site looks secure to stop children getting onto the road. And I'd just like to make a final point, and part of it is a question. I still maintain that many people did not and still do not know about this premises licence application and so will not have had the opportunity to comment due to the difficulty in seeing displayed notices as there's no pavements. And also, I would like to say that the notice for the hearing date has been rather short. I would just ask if there is any obligation to inform the parish council or neighbouring residents of an application of this nature, which can have a profound impact on people's right to enjoy their homes.
Thank you. We have been informed that everything was done correctly, but I'm going to ask Mr. Winter to confirm that, and Ms. Bird, if appropriate, that everything has been done in the correct lawful way.
Yes, in terms of legislation, yes.
In terms of
the boxes have been ticked.
That's as much as we can do, I'm afraid. Mr.
Another point, Chair, and in relation to what Dr. Collins said, people can only come and make representations if they've actually put in, within the time period for consultation for representations, a written representation. So if someone, even though you feel that this subcommittee has been convened quite quickly after the deadline, those people could only attend to hear it. They could not make any representations orally. If they've not made those representations within the deadline, then I'm afraid that's it for them. So it would make no difference.
I do understand that. Yeah. But what I'm saying is I don't think a lot of people saw the signs or were aware of, and still not aware, that this application has gone in.
The signage and what has to take place in terms of consultation, that's set out very specifically in regulations. And our licensing officer here, that's one of his important roles, to make sure that those regulations are complied with. And what you're hearing is, yes, they have been complied with. In a sense, this is the bread and butter of Mr. Winter, making sure that all the procedures, well, that's what he's an expert in, and he's saying all that's been complied with.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking my points into consideration.
Thank you.
At the application, and section on page 17, it says, will you be providing live music? And it's ticked a box of no. And it's also provision of recorded music on page 80, and it then says no again. So where's the music coming from? What sort of music?
You don't need it for under 500 people.
I see. Okay, sorry.
Over 500 people.
Sorry, I've got it. So I corrected it down.
Not in correct connection with this particular licence is the answer, I think. Okay.
It's all right.
I have no questions, Chairman.
Thank you.
No.
So, applicant, would you care to make a closing statement? But there's no need to address all the points other than the ones that are relevant to the licensing specifically, that if you wish to do, but... Okay. There's no need to go into everything.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. We feel we've met the four criteria that are examined to see if we qualify as a premises licence. Protection of children, we take this very seriously and have stated that we put steps in place to ensure the adequate protection of children whilst they're on the site, as I stated in the opening statement. Personal safety. Again, this is very important to us, not only to the tourists and visitors visiting the vineyard, but also to the staff and ourselves. It is in our interest to get this right. If you've read the objections or have listened to them, they talk about the road, which is Essex Highways, as you've already pointed out to us, and this is a planning objection. Again, they've studied this at county level and not just outside the front door, which is best conjecture and not based on any evidence. Crime and disorder. Reading and listening to the objections, you would have thought we were opening a nightclub, not a vineyard, where people want to taste award-winning wine. Generally, they're there to enjoy the wine, not to drink in excess. They also mention burglary. This is a risk wherever you live. They comment on a neighbouring vineyard, where there were thefts of power tools and a few bottles of wine which were left out. But this was whilst the barn was in construction and wasn't involved since that has been up and running. Prevention of public nuisance. This covers several areas. Lighting. We understand that this is an issue and we will ensure lighting is only used when needed for the safety of our customers and our staff. We will install downlighters where necessary to cover the ground and will not point in the direction of the residents, which are nowhere near the building. Noise, again, this is subjective, but again, the planning states that when we have our annual launch, we will have a temporary licence where we need it. If I can just point out that during our two last launches, I did actually take soundings from the edge of the vineyard, and during the peak between 6:30 and 9:30, the decibel level was 87, but this was on a phone app, it wasn't on technical equipment. And by 10:50, the only noise came from passing traffic between Burnham and Northambridge. We are only asking for a licence between the hours of 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. when lighting and noise pollution will be at a minimum, even during the winter months. We feel that we try to listen to the concerns of the residents and are behaving in a reasonable fashion. We hope that you can see that we have taken the four criteria very seriously. We understand that neighbours directly opposite the vineyard may take a different stance, but they have to understand this is a vineyard. We are not competing with local pubs. We are bringing something unique to the area and something hopefully they will be proud of one day. Hawthorne is a lovely village, and we want to keep it that way. But there will be more people visiting the area, whether it is us or other vineyards popping up in the area, as the Crouch River has been singled out as one of the premier locations in growing grapes in the UK. This will attract attention more from wine lovers that appreciate wine, and with sensible licensing regulations, we hope that we'll be able to serve our award-winning wine to local, national and international visitors. We thank you for your time and hope you look favourably on this application for Crouch Ridge Vineyard. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Right. At this point, although the report suggests we're going to ask you to leave, in fact we will because it's simpler, so I'm going to adjourn this meeting at 10:20. And we will be back. We will take as long as we need, but no longer, and come back.